I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. On It's a Good Life, we've been studying about the bones of Joseph. And so far, we've looked at a man's mortality. We all die physically, according to the Word of God, and according to we just have to look around us, and we see this every day in our lives of people who go out of this world. Death, physical death. We've also seen that no person is indispensable in God's plan. No matter how important a person is, everybody dies. There are no exceptions. It makes no difference how rich you are, how famous you are, how big you are, how small you are, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, everyone dies. We're placed in a situation where there's only one escape from this life, and that is physical death, according to the Scriptures. And that death came upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because all have sinned, it came from Adam. Adam is the one who brought death into this world by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God told him not to do that. So we see the mortality of man. We see that no person is more important than anyone else, and no person is indispensable in God's plan. And we see also the hope of deliverance. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." This is prophetic. This is something that has been written in the Word of God that would take place. And we see that after the death of Joseph, there arose a new king over Egypt. Remember, he did not know Joseph, and he enslaved God's people. And then we see that Joseph's bones was lying in a tomb in Egypt. And as they were there, they kept reminding the people, God's people, Israel, that they too would be delivered as Joseph's bones would be delivered out of that land of Egypt. It gave hope. And we might call Joseph's bones the bones of hope. We need to learn this also from the bones of Joseph. God will do what he says. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25, it says, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel." In other words, he made them say what they would do, and he said, God will surely visit you. He said, this is what's going to happen. It's like he took an oath as well. He was actually prophesying. He told the people, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Well, God's promise was fulfilled. God said he would deliver his people out of bondage, and he did. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 and 41, it says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." So we see that God's promise was fulfilled, that the children of Israel would be set free. Well, we also see that God also said he would remove Joseph's bones out of Egypt, and he did. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19, it says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the people of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you." And this is Joseph, remember, he said this, and the people were constantly reminded of this, and Moses knew about it. Joseph said, "For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel," this is Joseph saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you." And then, once again in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, it says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Well, there was a promise to rebury, and the promise to rebury Joseph might seem like an insignificant thing, but nothing which God says will fail. He always delivers. The Bible teaches us that not one jot or tittle, even the smallest of matters, shall fail. God will do exactly what He says He will do. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, it says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, some people think their lives are going to go on forever and forever and forever. But when reality sets in, it may be too late for that person to realize that God has been long-suffering toward them. The person may live to be 90 years old and has never trusted Jesus as Savior. And when they get to that point, they start realizing, wait a minute, my life is gone, and I should have done something different with my life. Well, maybe at that time it's too late, because it's time for that person to face their mortality, that time of death, and it would be too late. In other words, they slip out into eternity with never of trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God was long-suffering toward them throughout their entire life, giving them an opportunity to be saved, to receive Jesus Christ, but they didn't do it. Well, Matthew 5:18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law and from His word." In other words, everything's going to be done, and it continues on, and that verse says, "Till all be fulfilled." Now, one day we must all face reality that there's a choice to be made. You either choose heaven or you choose hell. And that's the way it is. Jesus came to give life. Jesus and God does not send anyone to hell. The person chooses that. And that may seem odd to you, but if you've never chosen Christ, you've chosen hell. You've not chosen heaven, you've chosen hell as your eternal home. And once you choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're locked in. You're going to heaven. God says, "To as many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons or the children of God." And I thank God for you. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior today, you're going with me. One day we'll see Jesus personally. We'll see God personally, our Heavenly Father. But my heart goes out to you if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, because you'll not see Him. You'll never see Him. The only way to see Him is to ask Him to come into your heart right now. Remember, there's coming a time when it's going to be too late. Well, there are others in the Scriptures who were assured of the faithfulness of God, and we see one such person in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. It says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Even Sarah, 100 years old, had a child. And how impossible that seems to us, and how impossible it would have been except for the fact that God said it was going to take place, and it did. Sarah believed Him, and it happened. Not only was Sarah assured of the faithfulness of God, but we also see that Abraham was assured of the faithfulness of God. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And then in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised," that's what God had promised, "he was able also to perform." He told Abraham, "Your seed is going to be as the seed of the sand of the sea. It's going to be innumerable, and nobody could number them." And Abraham was old. Sarah was old. but yet Sarah conceived. And through that, we know that God performed a miracle, that that the seed of Abraham would come forth out of Sarah, and therefore the children of Israel would come about, numbering as the sand of the sea. Well, God assures us of things in His Word, and we are assured as we look at the bones of Joseph, how they were carried from Egypt. God said it was going to happen through the prophecy that He had Joseph speak to the children of Israel about. He said not only would they be brought out of Egypt, but the children of Israel would carry his bones back to home where he could be buried. I want you to notice with me, if you would, the parallel lessons from Jesus' grave as we compare that to Joseph. The Bible tells us of another man who died and was buried in a borrowed tomb. You know who this is. He did not lay in the tomb 300 or 400 years. He only laid there 3 days and three nights. And his death, burial, and resurrection teach the greatest lessons of all. We can gain knowledge, and we can learn from people of the Word of God in the Bible. But the greatest teacher of all, of course, is Jesus Christ. Remember, in John chapter 3, there was a great teacher of the Pharisees who came to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, "We know thou art a teacher come from God." And he was speaking to Jesus, and he wanted to know something. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he be born again?" Jesus told him, he says, "You must be born again if you want to see heaven." And Joseph, or Nicodemus, didn't understand that. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about at first. But Jesus told him, he said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And of course, Jesus was speaking of himself. And he also said, as the Son of Man will be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and the people looked to that serpent on that stake, and they were delivered from the bites of those serpents that came along and had bitten them. They were saved that way. They did not die physically. But Jesus went on to say, the Son of Man's got to be lifted up just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and the people looked at it. And just as we look to the cross of Calvary, just as we look to Jesus who was hanging on that cross, who hung there for our sins, he became sin for us. He knew no sin. And just as we look to Jesus, God says when we do that, we look to him, faith believing that he's able to save us. He told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," and so must we if we ever want to see Jesus Christ in heaven. Do you want to go to heaven today? Then receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you. I trust you to save me today." If you'll pray something like that, God will save you. May the Lord bless you richly. Until the next time is my prayer.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.